Thank you to Lynn and to Barbara for leading the first part of our service this morning. When we have been planning these services and having a few more folk up front, I wasn't expecting 30-odd, but that's great. And it's very much in keeping with the theme of our service today, because we discover as we read this passage from Matthew's Gospel, it's also told in Luke's Gospel, that the kingdom of God is likened to a party, and certainly there's a party feel this morning when all these folks were coming up and being brought in unexpectedly and being given garments to wear. And we'll discover that as we look at this passage from Matthew 22 in the first 14 verses this morning. Some years ago, a man in my former congregation made a comment that went along the lines of, well, the Jews rejected Jesus, and so the Lord made the church God's people instead. And I would really have applauded that statement, although I could name very few people who took the notion of church membership more lightly than that man. He had an attitude, the kind of attitude that said, I'm a member of the church and that means I'm okay with God and I don't really need to do much more about it. And if he was busy on a Sunday morning golfing, as he was most Sunday mornings, then he had no time to come in and be part of the king's banquet. He and folks like him are easy to target because there's nothing subtle about that kind of attitude. And yet, as I read this passage preparing for today, I became a bit uneasy, because I asked the text to crawl deeper into my own attitudes and assumptions. And one of the ways that Matthew helps me, helps all of us, to examine our relationship with Christ is to take us to the mirror and ask, how much like a wonderful celebration, how much like a royal wedding feast is our relationship with Jesus Christ? Because we read that we are invited to share in a royal celebration. We need to be ready for the party. Now, there are some people who receive lots and lots and lots of invitations, and others receive no invitations. And if you're never invited to anything, then you think nobody's interested in you. And if you receive many invitations, then one of the most insulting things you can do is forget that you've accepted an invitation and arrange to do something else at the same time. Maybe it was only forgetfulness, but the person who sent you the invitation will take it as a personal insult. So the best thing you can do is make a note of every invitation you get in your diary, clear the evening of every other engagement, get ready for the party, put on your best party clothes and turn up with a great big smile on your face. And that shows that you've been honoured by the invitation, and it also honours the person who has invited you. There's a funny thing that happens these days at some weddings. I've noticed that here and at other churches. People who are invited, they turn up for the party, but they don't always turn up for the ceremony. I've seen folks standing outside this and other churches while wedding ceremonies have been happening inside. Yes, they want to share in the excitement of the dresses and the kilts and the posh cars, and they want to share in the excitement of the party, but they can't really be bothered to join in the ceremony. There's a similar kind of thing which happens when our youth organisations come to church. There are some parents who want to see their kids all dressed up in their uniforms and looking very smart parading into church, but they can't be bothered accepting the invitation to come in and be part of the service. And so they sit on the wall outside, waiting for things to be over. I've seen that again and again here. And it's the same even for some parents who've taken baptismal vows. Some don't bring their children to Sunday school at all. Others bring their children to Sunday school, but then they don't come into church themselves. And so they miss out on that whole family experience of celebrating and preparing for the king's banquet. It's absurd. It's disrespectful accepting an invitation and then not turning up. Well, Jesus told a story about a party. He told the story about the host of the party, and he told the story about the guests who were invited to the party. And this party was a wedding reception. And a very important one, because the host was the king himself. He'd sent out ever so many invitations to all sorts of important people. And the custom in these days was to send out a reminder on the actual day of the party. But in this story, the people began to make excuses. All sorts of excuse after excuse. And some of their excuses were quite good excuses, but if they'd really wanted to please the king, they would have found a way around these obstacles, and they would have accepted the invitation and turned up to the party. In his gospel telling of this story, Luke lists some of the excuses. Some of the guests who were invited said, "Oh, I've just bought a new field." Or we might say today, "Well, I've just moved into a new house and I'm rather busy. I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go and examine them." Today it might be something like, "Oh, I've just bought this fast new car. It's very posh and I want to take it out for a Sunday drive to test drive it." And finally, in the phrase that's often, I'm told, quoted by husbands who think they're henpecked, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." Although actually the Jewish law laid down very humanely that newlyweds should be allowed a whole year free of any other commitment so they could get to know each other better. So the A-team didn't turn up. And the king took these excuses as a calculated insult. And so if the top people, the good and the great of the land, wouldn't accept his invitation and come to the party, he decided to invite the B team. And he sent out invites on the day of the party to everyone whose address he knew. And most of them were honoured. And they came to the party. But at the party there was still room for many, many more. And so the king sent his servants to round up those of no fixed abode. He said, "Go out and get the homeless people. And get the tramps. Get the journeymen. Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in." But what was Jesus trying to teach us in this story? He said, the kingdom of God's like a party. Heaven is an endless celebration to which everyone is invited. And in the church here and now, we're enjoying a sort of trial run for heaven. It's a party. No one's turned away because they're not good enough, either from the church or from heaven. Even the needy and the outcast are given a welcome. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah the prophet said, "God is a refuge for the poor. God is a refuge for the needy in their distress. God is a shelter from the storm. And God is a shade from the heat." The invitation's free, but you have to be willing to accept. No excuses are accepted. Yes, property and travel and family, all of these things are important. But nothing is more important than accepting God's invitation to join his church and his kingdom. And if you haven't committed yourself yet to making God the king of your life, what's your excuse? Are the other things in your life really more important than the God who has created you and who loves you and who's redeemed you? Or are you insulting him by turning down his invitation? Well, we might understand the analogies in that parable. But then at the end of his telling of it, Matthew seems to spoil it all by suggesting that yes, there are some conditions after all. One of the guests at the party didn't have the right party clothes. Perhaps he'd just forgotten, a bit like I forgot to bring my tie this morning. And he was thrown out of the party. And perhaps this bit of the story belongs to another story entirely, and it's nothing to do with the earlier part, but perhaps it does belong together. Perhaps, as we heard earlier on, with the children and the other adults up the front, party clothes were issued to the guests free of charge when they arrived at the party. There's a story from the end of World War II, and the Russian head of state had given an elaborate banquet to honour the British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. And all of the Russians arrived in their best formal wear. their military dress uniforms, those who had them. But their honoured guest did not. Churchill arrived wearing his famous zipper coveralls that he'd worn in London during the German Blitz. He thought it would provide a nostalgic touch that the Russians would appreciate. They didn't. They were humiliated and insulted that their prominent guest of honour had not considered their banquet worthy of his best clothes. And it was a very difficult evening. The fact that we enter the kingdom of God by grace doesn't mean that there are no standards. When we're invited around Jesus' table, as we were last Sunday, we're invited to the banquet of the King of Kings. The banquet of bread and wine reminds us that Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. He does not expect a half-hearted response on our part. The invitation to salvation, yes, it's open to everyone. But when we come through that door, we must put off our old clothes. We must put off our old ways. Because Jesus calls us to accept the new life of the kingdom and to live that new life accordingly. The book of Revelation tells us that the fine clothes are the good deeds of God's people. So perhaps there's something we need to do to get ready for the heavenly party. Yes, the invitation's free without conditions, but we have to respond to it by living a life of love and kindness and showing how important it is that we have been invited by the King to his party. Jesus comes and calls you and me to look carefully at our relationship with God. All of us have been invited into a relationship with the living God, and it's a relationship which the Bible describes as a feast or a banquet, a party. It's all about hope and joy and love. It's a relationship we would very naturally choose if we understood the invitation at all. But, and this is no small thing, this is not a take it or leave it offer. This is the Lord God of the universe calling us to attend his celebration. And the garment we need to wear is the garment of acceptance, of humility, of obedience. We accept the invitation to life. We humbly agree that God's way for our living is better than anything else we could come up with. We bring our lives in line with God's desire to grow Christ-like qualities in us. In other words, we put on the wedding garment. And why wouldn't we? Even this garment is a gift of God's love and God's grace. Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." The chosen are those who look carefully at their inner lives and decide to reach out and embrace the love and the grace of God. The people in Jesus' parable have said, "Oh, nobody is going to the wedding feast. We're all too busy." But we're called to something different. Sometimes when we look over the landscape of our religious freedom in our Western culture, we think to ourselves, well, people sure are busy these days. And they certainly are. Busy attending to financial affairs over these past weeks. Busy with our jobs. Busy with so many things. Sometimes even too busy with our church activities. And it's so hard to find time for our families and our friends, our husband, our wife. And we wonder, is it possible that we... could find ourselves among those who are too busy to attend the feast of God, too busy for a relationship with God. I can hear the people in Jesus' story saying things like, "Oh, don't get me wrong, I love the King. I think he's a great King. I certainly appreciate the fact that the King's always there when I have a need. And if I just wasn't so busy, I would love to go to the wedding feast. You know how it is. And you know something? When we hold the mirror up to our own lives, we know exactly how it is. All too well. And I know how it is. And then I pray that God will mercifully keep me and keep us from declining a wonderful invitation into the joy of kingdom celebration. Amen. Let's worship God as we make our offerings.